Chapter 1. Bye, Nikki. Have a fun day and be a good boy. Lisa Marshall gave her 4-year-old son's forehead a quick kiss and smiled at her mother. Thanks, Mum. I should be home at the normal time, but you never know what's going to crop up on the first day of term. No problem. I'll collect him from school and take him to the park. He loves feeding the ducks. Lisa waved as they set off. She could have taken Nikki to school herself, since she wasn't teaching until 11, but knew it was better to get him back into his normal school day routine. It meant she could take a leisurely shower instead of her usual rushed one. She had time, too, to throw some clothes into the washing machine, check her emails, and watch the news on television. At 10, she set off on the short drive to Hillside College. Most days she was intent on getting through the early morning traffic on the main road and took no notice of her surroundings. Today, she was able to slow down a little along her favourite part of the road. It skirted the lake and offered a stunning view of the Lakeland Hills, basking softly in the spring sunshine. "God's in his heaven, and all's right with the world," she murmured and smiled. Her world was good. She enjoyed her job at Hillside College, only 10 miles from her home in Fellbeck, and Nikki loved his reception class at the small village school. Still with plenty of time once she'd parked her car, she headed for the old house, the Victorian mansion in the centre of the college campus. It now served as the college administration centre, and she spent a few minutes chatting to Beth Andrews, one of the secretaries, before picking up her final schedule for the summer term. As she came out of the office, a voice hailed her. "Hey, Lisa, had a good Easter?" She turned to greet Millie Shepherd, her colleague in the TV journalism department. "Yes, great, thanks. I was about to come looking for you, actually. Do you have time for a coffee? We need to talk about the new schedule." Millie's green eyes twinkled as she grinned. "You know I always have time for coffee." They headed for the covered walkway linking the old house with the modern Charlton building, named after the 19th century owner of the estate. Lisa was laughing at her friend's account of her kayaking efforts during the Easter weekend, when Millie said suddenly, "Hey, look, Fiona Hall's found herself a new man." Lisa followed her glance to the two figures on the path, leading diagonally across the lawn towards the Charlton. Even from a distance, their colleague Fiona Hall was unmistakable. Immaculate, as always, in a tight-fitting green skirt and jacket. Lisa had long since ceased to compare her own clothes, usually tailored trousers and a crisp cotton shirt, with Fiona's smart designer outfits. As her gaze moved to the man walking with Fiona, she frowned. There was something familiar about the tall, slim figure, the way he walked, and the way he tilted his head as he listened to Fiona. "Don't be stupid," she told herself, but still couldn't take her eyes off him. As the gap between them lessened, her blood started to run cold. It wasn't. It couldn't possibly be. The man lifted his hand to flick back a stray strand of light brown hair from his forehead, and she knew it was Paul. For an insane moment, she wanted to run towards him, be scooped up in his arms again, see the laughter in his blue eyes, feel his soft and sensual mouth against hers. Stunned by her reaction, by feelings she thought she'd totally suppressed, she stopped abruptly. Another 30 seconds, and they'd come face to face. Total panic made her heart thump against her ribs. I've just remembered, I need some class lists." Without waiting for Millie to reply, she turned and quickened her pace back towards the old house. Dimly she heard Millie call out something about coffees in the cafeteria. The whole world had receded, and she was aware only of the painful pounding in her chest. Shock mixed with incredulity. Paul, here at Hillside. Her mind simply refused to believe what her eyes had seen. When she reached the old house, she went straight to the ladies' room. To her relief, no one else was there. She didn't dare think. Didn't dare allow herself to feel anything. Not until she'd managed to control the trembling which was shaking her whole body. She glanced at her reflection in the mirror. The blood had drained from her face, and her brown eyes looked back at her with shock and panic. Oh, God, she breathed. Oh, dear God. Had she really seen Paul Hamilton again? Paul in person, not just on television. She deliberately hadn't watched his Power of the Planets series, which had brought him international fame. But then he'd started appearing regularly on TV, not only on science programmes, but sometimes even on primetime news, especially when the Icelandic ash cloud had disrupted air travel the previous year. He'd become a well-known expert on volcanic activity. Whenever she saw him on the screen, she had to steel herself against remembering the man she'd once loved so deeply. She rested her hands on the edge of the wash basin and took a few deep breaths. Maybe she'd imagined it. Maybe it hadn't been him at all. Simply someone who looked like him. Walked like him. Tilted his head in the same way. Her shoulders sagged. No, of course it was Paul. Bringing hands up to her cheeks, she shook her head as she tried to think. Why on earth was he here in the Lake District? It was light years away from their apartment in North London, her job with the BBC, and Paul's high-profile research at London University. Light years, too, from the life of love and laughter they'd once shared, until it had all gone wrong. She bit her lower lip, as memories constricted her throat. Then she swallowed hard, took a deep breath, and squared her shoulders. She could handle this. She really could. There was absolutely no reason for her to be nervous. He was the one who'd accused her of having an affair and then left her. She had nothing to be ashamed of. Except... a cold finger of fear ran down her spine. Except she'd never told him about his son. Forget all that, her mind insisted. First, she had to find out why Paul was here at Hillside. Quickly, she touched up her makeup and ran a brush through her shoulder-length dark hair. Neither act was necessary, but tidying her outward appearance was somehow akin to tidying the ragged emotions inside her. She struggled to push those emotions back behind the wall of hurt and anger she'd built around herself 5.5 years earlier. Beth looked up from her computer as she went back into the office. "Forget something." She forced a smile. "Yes, some class lists. You know where they are?" She nodded and crossed to one of the filing cabinets. The lists were already on the board in her room, but she still took a couple. As she closed the drawer, she turned with feigned nonchalance to Beth. "By the way, was I imagining things, or have I just seen the guy from the Power of the Planet series walking across the lawn?" "Paul Hamilton? Yes, he's here." Any lingering hope that perhaps she'd been mistaken evaporated. Her voice faltered slightly. "How come?" Beth grinned. "Quite a feather in Hillside's cap, huh? Fiona Hall persuaded him to teach some of the geosciences classes while David Craig recovers from his hip operation." "Oh, I see." Lisa had no idea how Fiona knew Paul well enough to get him as a temporary tutor, but it didn't matter. A lead weight descended inside her, as her mind grasped the chilling truth. Paul was probably going to be at Hillside for the rest of the term. She made herself smile casually at Beth. "It explains why Fiona was escorting him around the campus, then." "Enjoying the reflected glory," Beth grinned. "Or..." Lisa knew exactly what Beth meant. It was common knowledge that Fiona was a manhunter. Trying to hide her edginess, she grinned back. "Who knows?" Outside the office, she paused for a moment. Millie was waiting for her in the cafeteria, but Fiona and Paul had also been heading for the Charlton building. She wished she could control her breathing, which had become so shallow she wanted to take a big gulp of oxygen. Wished, too, her knees didn't feel so shaky. "Hey, come on," she chided herself quickly. There was no way she could spend the next few weeks trying to avoid him. Maybe the sooner they met up, the better, and then it would be over. Despite the inner pep talk, her tension increased, and her glance darted everywhere as she retraced her steps along the walkway to the Charlton. After a quick scan of the lobby, she ran down the wide stairs to the large cafeteria. It was busy with students and staff, sitting in groups at the red-topped tables. She looked around quickly, and relaxed slightly when she didn't see Fiona or Paul. When she spotted Millie near the window, she wove her way between the tables, exchanging smiles and brief greetings with staff members and some of her students. "I bought you a latte," Millie said. "Did you get your lists?" "What? Oh, yes." She dropped into the chair opposite Millie and put the papers on the table as if to confirm her excuse had been genuine. "Shame you had to rush away," Millie went on. "Guess who I just met?" Lisa knew, but still asked, "Who?" "Paul Hamilton. You know, the man with the gorgeous voice and even more gorgeous blue eyes. The one who did the Power of the Planet series on TV." Lisa swallowed a mouthful of coffee and glanced uneasily around the cafeteria again. "Is he still here?"
"I think Fiona's keeping him all to herself. I met them in the lobby, and then she dragged him away somewhere else."
Millie grinned.
"Can't really blame her. He's even better looking in real life than he is on TV. Very yummy."
"If you say so." Lisa forced the image of Paul's handsome face out of her mind and looked up at the large clock on the wall. "Hey, I must go. I have a class in 10 minutes. Quickly, she gulped down the rest of her drink and grimaced as she stood up. "Yikes, this cafeteria coffee gets worse every day." "You said you wanted to talk to me about something."
"Did I?
Oh, yes. The summer term schedule. We'll have to do it later." Millie looked at her curiously.
"Are you okay? You seem really tense."
Lisa groaned inwardly. She thought she'd disguised her inner turmoil, but she might have known Millie would see through it. However, she'd never told Millie anything about Paul, and now wasn't the right time. She gave a quick laugh.
"My first class is Intro to Celebrity Journalism, and you know how much I hate that module. See you later."
"Okay, see you."
The doubt lingered in Millie's voice, and Lisa knew she wasn't convinced, but it was the least of her worries. She left the Charlton and walked quickly along the path to the Ruskin building. How ironic that the media faculty and environmental studies faculty shared the same 4-story modern block. If she were based anywhere else on campus, there'd have been far less chance of bumping into Paul. As if to prove her absolutely right, the first two people she saw when she went into the large airy lobby were Fiona and Paul. They were crossing from the wide stairway towards the door, and she couldn't avoid them without doing yet another abrupt about-face. Every nerve inside her tightened.
"Hi, Lisa," Fiona greeted her. "Had a good break?"
"Yes, thanks." Her reply was as automatic as her casual smile. She tried not to look at Paul, but couldn't stop herself. A sideways glance at his familiar face brought back far more memories than any two-dimensional picture on the television screen. 5.5 years hadn't diminished his good looks. On the contrary, they'd matured him and lent strength and character to his handsome features. Thick, light brown wavy hair, which used to feel silky to her touch. Stunning azure eyes she'd once been able to read like a book. High cheekbones, well-defined jaw, beautifully shaped mouth. No, she mustn't think of his mouth or his kiss. Fiona gave a smug smile.
"I see you've recognised Paul Hamilton. He'll be working in my department for a few weeks. Paul, this is Dr. Lisa Marshall, head of the TV journalism department."
Lisa cursed inwardly, knowing the colour had flooded to her cheeks. She'd caught Paul's initial stunned expression, but now his face registered nothing as he held out his hand to her. His blue eyes were expressionless.
"Hello, Lisa. It's been a long time, hasn't it? How are you?"
The feel of his firm hand around hers sent an unexpected, yet familiar, electric current arcing through her, and she had to struggle to maintain her outward show of calmness.
"I'm fine."
She was relieved her voice seemed to be coming out with no indication of her inner shakiness.
And you?
Yes, I'm good too.
Fiona looked curiously at Paul. Do you already know each other? He turned to her.
We met a few years ago in London, before I went to South America.
Lisa stiffened. This was a reminder, maybe a deliberately cruel reminder, of everything that had gone wrong between them. Oh, I see, Fiona replied. So you'll be able to reminisce about old times.
Oh, I doubt Lisa will want to do that.
Paul looked back at her again.
Will you, Lisa?
She heard the razor's edge in his voice and copied it. I really don't think there would be any point. Touché, she thought, as he tilted his head in what seemed to be a mocking acknowledgement. He glanced at his watch and turned back to Fiona.
Shouldn't we be going? The meeting's at 11, isn't it?
Yes, in the old house. See you around, Lisa. Yes. Without looking at Paul again, Lisa walked along the corridor to her room. She yanked open the door, sat down heavily at her desk, and ran her fingers through her hair as she tried to sort out her confused emotions. Why was she allowing him to have this effect on her? Their relationship was over, finished. Everything had ended the day she came back from Berlin. She shuddered, remembering the accusations, the anger, and then the agonizing pain. Hardly surprising that he'd said she wouldn't want to reminisce about old times. She didn't even want to be reminded, let alone talk about what had happened. It was bad enough to realize the very nearness of him had sent tremors quivering through her, just as it always had. A door banging somewhere brought her back to the present. She had a class waiting in R106. "To hell with you, Paul Hamilton," she muttered as she stood up. It was a welcome diversion to concentrate on her Introduction to Celebrity Journalism lecture for the next 90 minutes. By the end of the session, her meeting with Paul seemed surreal, as if she'd dreamt it. Reality hit home again once she was back in her room. It hadn't been a dream. He was here at Hillside. When Millie rang to ask if she was going to the cafeteria for lunch, she said she had some work to do. It was an excuse, but she didn't want to leave the security of her room. At least, not at the moment, not until she'd had time to accustom herself to the idea of bumping into Paul anywhere on the college campus. In any case, she wasn't sure she could eat anything right now, with her stomach feeling so nauseous. Instead, she plugged in her small kettle and made an instant coffee. As she sipped it, a multitude of different feelings ran wild in her mind. She'd told no one here at Hillside about her life in London, or about Nicky's father, but Millie had commented on her tension. Fiona too must surely have picked up the vibes of antagonism between them. How soon before everyone put two and two together? On an impulse, she dialed her friend Kate's number. Kate Bowden was one of the very few people who knew, if not all, then at least part of the story. "Hi, Lisa," Kate said cheerfully. "How's things?" "Kate, Paul's here at Hillside." "What? Say that again. I don't think I heard." "Yes, you did. Paul's here. I met him this morning. He's covering for a staff member who's had a hip replacement, so he'll be here for the next few weeks." There was silence for a few seconds before Kate spoke again. "Wow, I think I'm as stunned as you must be. I don't know what to say. Are you free this evening?" "Yes, I've nothing planned, and Rob should be home by 7. Want me to come over?" "Would you? I don't really want to talk about all this with my mum, but if I sit on my own this evening, I think I'll go crazy." "Okay, will do. See you about 8. During the afternoon, Lisa concentrated on her tutor group of third-year students. With their final dissertations due for presentation in only 4 weeks' time, she owed it to them not to let her mind wander to the living nightmare her life had unexpectedly become. At 5 o'clock, she gave them a satisfied smile. "It sounds like you're well on the way to completing your dissertations. Well done, all of you."
When she reached her room again, she let out a small sigh, glad the day was finally over. It would be a relief to go home and give herself time to think, and to talk to Kate too. She sat down at her desk to check her emails, nothing she couldn't leave until tomorrow. She switched off her computer and put a couple of folders into her bag. A knock on the door startled her. "Come in," she called automatically. The door opened, and Paul walked in.